Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live. Today, the Oscars get blacker, and Apple's about to open their new spot. Let's go.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
Far Side. Yes, it's my autobiographical first line. In my younger days, I supported Shaq, which is absolutely true.
Hey, man.
I said, support a Shaq.
But yeah, Pops would never let me have a Shaq. He's
really?
Like, nah, too trendy.
Oh, man. I used to go to Jeff's Barbershop on Gary and Pomona.
P-Town.
Jeff himself, who I'm sure is dead by now, but he's old then. Jeff would hook me up with the Shaq.
Hey.
Yep. In my younger days.
In my younger days.
That was the 60s. Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech, show breakdown tech news and nerd culture from a black and brown geek perspective.
Yes,
I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, as always, by my guy, the super fly.
Whoa.
My do or die. I-K-I-L-I.
I cannot. This dude has lost his marbles.
What's up, man?
What up, man?
How you doing?
I'm good,
good.
Man. There's a lot of great stuff happening in the world, man.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's awesome.
In fact, there's a lot of good stuff in media and then the Oscars, and then there's a lot of good stuff happening with movies, too. Like Get Out is blowing up. We'll talk a little bit about that for a second. And
got the new Will Smith movie coming on Netflix.
Yeah, I saw
that. Should look crazy.
I dreamed that. I saw a promo for that. Somewhere, I think I don't know where. Oh, it was doing Oscars.
Yeah,
I was watching Oscars repeat. I saw this promo and I was like, Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So he got the mustache. I have no idea about that because I really know nothing. And then last but not least, Logan comes out today.
That's right.
And it debuted to one of the highest Thursday evening premieres ever. And
you gotta throw in the mix the Jay-Z 6-part series on Spike, the documentary about my man who committed suicide because he was unfairly incarcerated.
Wow. That's coming to Spike? When?
The first episode was 2 nights ago. 6-part series.
I am up on everything.
Right.
See, I'm up to the minute on all the news.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I have it recorded, but
okay.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Well, that's good. At least you know about it. I didn't even know about it. Let's go back to earlier in the week. You know, the week started. We did our show on Friday, and the Oscars were Sunday. We talked a little bit about it. So we're late in terms of mentioning all the stuff that happened, but we had a crazy Oscars. What did you think of the ceremony itself, and then we'll get to the winners and then the controversy at the end?
Ceremonially, I think it was a great Oscars. It was very entertaining. I mean, obviously aside from what happened at the end, I thought it was really awesome just to see the representation of black folks winning. I thought, Jimmy Kimmel was decent. There was a few things, two comments I thought were totally inappropriate.
Which ones? OJ?
I mean, messing up my man's name.
Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, that was kind of disrespectful.
Yeah.
And I mean, it has some racial overtones to it,
Right.
But whatever. I think that...
Jimmy Kimmel's sort of like, he's sort of... universally sort of a cool dude, a respected dude, but there was a little bit of like whatever your name is in there.
That's what I'm saying. The racial overtones was highly offensive. Especially in talking about his new life that he brought into the world.
Yeah.
Like, you don't make fun of people's kids' names, But whatever.
What you gonna name this one?
Right. But I loved now drawing a blank. Well, I'll first say that I was disappointed Denzel did not win. I thought that he was the top dog in that category. I'm glad Moonlight won. I'm disappointed that, the way that they won at the end, they didn't get necessarily the shine to be able to use that platform to express whatever they wanted to express.
Sure.
I think their time was obviously compressed because of that flub. But I think, just having, again, I'll throw it to you, but having the representation, the diversity, and obviously the OJ, OJ Made in America winning, and then having that category filled with black filmmakers, it was just awesome, man, just to see. And I hope that, my last note is I hope that a year ago, you know, we were critical of Oscars being so white, hashtag Oscars so white, and I hope that our criticism doesn't let up, you know, all because we have one year where we were represented does not mean that there's change in the infrastructure. So we got to continue to be vocal and express diversity, not only in films that are nominated, but also in the pantheon of people that select the films.
Absolutely. I agree with everything you said, and it's kind of working backwards. I mean, the thing about Oscar so white and what people are quick to point out in inside Hollywood is this year is not the representation this year is not really a reaction to last year, because Hollywood doesn't move that fast.
Right.
In other words, there's no way that there was not like Oscar so white, let's make a bunch of black movies and get them up next year. Like that. Right. Like that. We won't see that sort of like.
It's ebb and flow.
Exactly. Yeah. All the stuff that sort of. Reaction to Oscar so white, we'll probably see in the next 2 years. So it'll be interesting to see how that
the
plays
sustainability.
Out. Well, I'm also looking for the backlash, the inevitable backlash. Like, Oscar's too black. I'm waiting for that from maybe the MAGA crowd. If this sort of feels like I really enjoy this Oscars and like their representation, because it feels more like our country as opposed to Hollywood. It felt more like, it's the first time I really felt like how, you know, Hollywood is doing as best they can do sort of a representation of what's happening in the culture. And so to see all these folks and black folks and Latino folks and women, and I mean, still light on the women, but just to see this happen. It felt like we're moving in the right direction, and it looks like the woman who's, I cannot remember her name, but the new president of the Academy, who's also a sister. Like, yeah. I feel like that the moves that she's made to diversify the Academy, to get younger, to get more diverse, are starting to pay off. Now, that being said, you know, Jimmy Kimmel made it very clear in the joke that he did about Moonlight, which I thought was a pretty decent joke. He made it very clear that. Cheryl Boone Isaacs, thank you, Marissa, is the president of the Academy. I think that Jimmy Kimmel made it very clear that, all that being said, people still haven't seen Moonlight. That's one of the screeners that people didn't watch.
Right.
Like, he made a joke about one of the plot points in Moonlight that I thought was a pretty good joke, and everybody's like, huh? But either they didn't know how to react or they hadn't seen it. And he said it out loud. He goes, oh, of course, no one's seen it. Right. You know? That being said, there was definitely a Moonlight social media bounce, and also you know, I turned on my TV and Moonlight was number one on iTunes, and you know, and that was a huge social media bounce for that. But the last thing I'll say about that is you know, one of our partner Steve mentioned that to me. Like, he mentioned the word regal, you know, because he was there, and he's like, yeah, it just feels very regal, and I know what he means. Like, looking at Taraji on the carpets and how fantastic we looked and on top of our representation, and then you had arguably our, you know,
minus Halle Berry,
but you know, but who was there? She was there, but she, you know,
I'm not talking about her hair.
Oh, her hair, yeah, got you. How they looked exactly, but then you had arguably sort of the patriarch. I don't want to say king, but you know, Denzel was there, sort of presiding, you know, and it felt very like much like we were very much represented. In terms of Denzel not winning, yeah, it's interesting. The you know, Vegas, the, you know, there was heavy action towards Denzel. Was like 2-1 by the end. Like, it was heavy action on Denzel. Like, Vegas moved heavily towards Denzel, which made it feel like, what do they know? Because Vegas always knows something. So I think the Casey thing was a bit of a surprise.
I have to cut you off. And I've kind of felt defensive about Casey saying, I learned from you, Denzel. You're the first movie star that I saw. Oh. I don't believe that.
I do, actually. Come on, God. I do. Well, really? No. I learned how to act from this guy down here. I do. Given, Ben Affleck has been on record a lot talking about how much that they consume Denzel and Morgan Freeman. So much so that, you know, Ben Affleck does a super ridiculously spot on impersonation of Morgan Freeman in multiple movies, which, depending on how you feel about it, could be kind of weird when you see it. But I kind of believe them. I believe that
it was Malcolm X that made me want to become an actor.
I mean, I believe like see enough of those two dudes and how they get down. I kind of believe them.
Right.
I kind of believe them. You know, I mean, I feel like that's who those dudes are. I mean, they're definitely more along the line. They're closer to the Donnie Wahlberg, Marky Mark Boston dude than they are to the, I don't know, racist kind of Boston dude. But that being said, Denzel, people made a lot about Denzel's sort of visible sort of grimace when he lost, and really made a lot about it, and it's his scowl, the whole scowl. And I thought that bothered me. That bothered me more than the whole. That bothered me, the coverage of Denzel, like, he's so angry, and why is he so mad? Like, Denzel's just...
He's chilling, man.
A, he's chilling. B, he's competitive. He wanted to win. Like, yeah. He wanted to win. Denzel wants to win. Like, he makes no bones about it. But when Casey got up there, there was a standing ovation for Casey, and...
You didn't stand.
Huh?
I don't think he stood.
No, he let it. He popped up.
Oh, okay.
The shot I saw, he popped up.
Maybe I'm mixing up. There was one award where everyone was standing, but he wasn't. I forgot which one it was.
Well, that could be something. Maybe, you know, and that's also like indicative of like, there's so much inside baseball Hollywood. People know all the stories of people.
Of course.
And that we don't know.
Of course.
And Denzel point, I ain't standing for that dude. That dude was XYZ. Right. You know? And so we don't know what it is. But for Casey, he popped up. Yeah. I saw the shot was him popping up and clapping. So I don't think he was like, F Casey, you know?
I failed to mention Viola Davis. Her speech was incredible.
Oh, man.
That was amazing.
Oh, I mean, like, her speech at the Globes was amazing. Her speech, she's always, you know, and she, people I was with in the room, you know, when she broke out with the My Captain, My Captain.
Yeah.
And Oh, Captain, My Captain. Like, people started bursting into tears on the spot, man, in the room.
She killed it.
Yeah, she's definitely...
We got to exhume.
Yeah, actually, she reminds me of that song about my mother. She has that sort of like ability to just to say those phrases.
Right.
That you're kind of like, and Denzel. but yeah, she's kills it every time, and it's great for her because it's great for her to get recognized because she is kills on the stage, winning Tonys. But the fact that she is on a hit TV show, which she's, you know, regularly nominated for Emmys, and like. And the fact that she's like currently on a hit TV show and can dip out and go snatch an Oscar and go back to TV, like, that's something that doesn't happen in film. I mean, it's changed, obviously changed now with prestige television and everything else, but it was like television stars don't go to movies or vice versa.
Right.
And this is a really new paradigm in terms of Hollywood that you have.
But I don't think I wouldn't say that's new. I would say that we've been in this kind of zone for at least 5 years.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. I mean, relatively new in terms of Hollywood.
The span of Hollywood.
Yeah, this is within the last, like, 10 years max.
Yeah,
like, you know, starting with Sopranos, was it like, in the birth of prestige television is kind of where this whole thing started. So that's really interesting. I just like the fact that you're like, Viola is, nothing wrong with Viola's life right now.
Hey, she's
got Tony, a great hit play. Just snatched the Oscar, got a hit TV show.
She's closing in on that EGOT status, you know? I don't know how she's going to get the Grammy, though, but she might figure it out.
She's going to read a book, spoken word in a book.
Hey.
record a book. Record the intro to your new album.
Hey, man. Come on, Viola.
she'll figure it out. And speaking of EGOT, my boy Lin-Manuel did not get the EGOT. He did not win for Moana. I knew he wasn't going to win. I really thought he should have won. I think the two biggest travesties of that are the Oscar that wasn't won, which was Moana. I think that song is phenomenal. And nothing against City of Stars and Audition, but and I really liked Audition. It was really affected me in theater when I saw La La Land and she sang Audition. I was really affected by it. It's a great, those are two wonderful songs. I just think How Far We'll Go Moana is just a big, beautiful Broadway style song. I agree. Moana was fantastic.
And I feel also that, man, we didn't have any type of representation. Well, not representation. We didn't have any type of wins for Hidden Figures.
Well, that was my second thing. The other biggest travesty for me was that Pharrell, for that soundtrack, did not get nominated. Because I think the creation of that soundtrack in and of itself was a feat. I think the songs were amazing in there. I think the title song.
And a perfect accompaniment to those visuals. Perfect.
I mean, the fact that they La La Land snatched up two nominations and they couldn't give Pharrell one. I think that was a travesty. I think Hidden Figures, getting goose egged was also something. But
that was a beautiful moment when they came on stage, the three of them.
Oh yeah,
with my sister. That was a very powerful moment.
That was a super powerful moment with a long standing ovation.
Absolutely.
You know, and I just think Taraji looked fantastic.
Yes, indeed.
I think she is just like, man, she's really. And it's almost like what I like about Taraji at the Oscars was she didn't get nominated, but she's very much at the center of an important movie, and she kind of carried herself like, yeah, I'm still here.
Absolutely. You know, she should.
I belong here.
She does belong there.
I didn't get nominated, but I belong here, front and center.
She's obviously the anchor of the film. So, yeah. I mean, the fact that the film was nominated, hence why she's there more prominently. But, I mean, I feel like she deserves to. I mean, you talk about Viola being able to jump from TV to film. She does the same thing with Empire to a film like this. So, yeah. I mean, I feel like, I mean, those are two examples of two powerful sisters that have the ability to be diverse in their acting. And I think, man, I think something should have won for Hidden Figures. So I think that was really an awesome film. So
I agree. All right. So, but one thing we should touch on is the social media balance. Looks like Oscars. The what's called the SMU, which is Social Media Universe, the one day post Oscar lift. There was a 3.1 million dollar bounce in growth for Moonlight and a $1.2 million impression growth for La La Land. I mean, the point being, in Moonlight basically eclipsed it, like doubled
Those trends are normal. I mean, whenever you win, you know, Best Picture, of course you're going to trend high. Sure. But what they were saying is that, and kind of to your point earlier, because of the marketing push that obviously La La Land had versus Moonlight, you know, a lot of people wasn't on a lot of people's radar.
Right.
And so, I mean, winning, I mean, definitely does a lot for your career, does a lot for the expansion and notoriety of the film. And just to see those, you know, those analytics in real time, and also just as a kind of like a bookend, I think is dope. And I think it also says a lot that, hey, as a filmmaker, like, you can compete against a titan that has, you know, all the millions of dollars of marketing money and still come out on top.
Right.
I think that's a great story.
I think, and I also want to, speaking of Moonlight, there's a couple of things I do want to hit on in terms of that that win and just, you know, Barry Jenkins not winning Best Director was fine with that. Moonlight winning Best Picture is a legitimate shocker. That was a legitimate movie I was rooting for. It's a $1 million movie. And
yeah, I wasn't rooting for that for Best Picture.
Yeah.
And I was very surprised that it won, actually.
Right. So, I mean, I know you're rooting for La La Land really hard.
Stop it. Team Fences. Team Fences all the way.
You jumped off the couch like, what happened to my movie?
No, I was already dancing.
Fences. I knew Fences wasn't going to win. I knew Fences wasn't going to win. It's just, you know, the movies based on plays, like whether it's Doubt or those movies, just don't win Best Pictures normally like that.
Everything about this Oscars was abnormal, so that's why I thought it had a great potential to win.
I agree. I think that I really the fact that it's a small movie, $1 million, won Barry Jenkins' second film. Most people like know it as his first film. I think that screenplay adaptation, you know, win was also amazing. That speech was amazing. I think that what's amazing to this about this to me is the fact that aside from the Oscars So White last year, to the gayest, blackest film winning, you know,
political.
But where we are as a country with all of the sort of LGBT in the Trump world, sort of the focus on sort of what seems to be moving back towards an oppression of the LGBT community, an oppression of others, the oppression of continued oppression of black folks, for the country, for Hollywood to say this is the movie we're going to elevate and send that message out to the country. I don't know how many people in those Trump red states are seeing or have seen Moonlight, but the fact that more people will see it and curious about seeing it.
I mean, I posit that question for within our own community as black folks. There's tons of black folks that have never seen Moonlight.
Like, of course, I ain't seeing that shit.
Precisely.
Yeah, no. Like, I already know it's about, I ain't seeing that. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of that. I think it's just a spectacular piece of art. Even taking away the subject matter, even if you're like anything, there's so many movies you see that I am not okay with the subject matter at all. But you've got to recognize it as a wonderful piece of art. I'm not saying that I thought Moonlight was spectacular across the board. I'm fine with the subject matter in this one, but I know some people aren't.
I think for me. I felt Moonlight was good. I don't think it was great.
Right.
And I think that a big part of it being nominated and a big part of it even winning is political. Because I think I mean, if you extract
hot controversial take by Keely Shine.
I don't think it's controversial. I think a lot of people have this take. Right. You extract the homosexuality element out of it and replace those characters and make them heterosexual. Does it win? Absolutely not.
Doesn't.
So when you talk about Best Picture, of course it's the narrative, it's a statement, it's what it represents to the society, but it's also all the other inner workings of what makes a film great. And I think from a cinematic element, like the tones and colors were great, but just normal. It was nothing like really innovative.
So you wouldn't have voted for it for Best Cinematography because it got nominated for Best Cinematography. I thought it was beautifully shot.
It was beautifully shot, or you thought the way that it looked. To me, that's a distinction.
I think. Looking back, and I need to watch it again. But looking at some of these shots, some of these shots were composed, and thinking about them in my mind's eye, and actually seeing some of these clips, and you pause. My test is always when you see a shot and you pause it. If it looks like a beautiful mm-hmm. photo that you can hang in your thing, like there's something great going on there. I think Moonlight has a lot of those. La La Land has a lot of those too. I mean, Arrival has a lot of those. I felt like it's hard to put. This is the thing about cinematography as well. It's hard to look at the cinematography in something like Moonlight and then juxtapose it in against something like Arrival and Heartbreak Ridge or whatever.
Well, that's what I think. It's a convergence of all those things. And so I feel like there are better. I mean, I'm not trying to be controversial, but I think there are better films. I'm happy that Moonlight won. I'm proud of us for telling that story. I think it will empower our community. I think it'll bring awareness to you know our society. I just think I think there were just better choices. Whatever.
Yeah. No. I don't disagree with anything you're saying. But anyway, I'm happy for those guys. Even in that moment. Just really couple of the quick things to hit on. Jimmy Kimmel. I thought Jimmy was great too. I thought he did a great job. I thought I liked the OJ joke. I think he had a couple of moments that were sort of maybe culturally insensitive, not intentionally, but still culturally insensitive at best.
The Lion King moment.
I didn't like that.
That's so disrespectful.
I didn't like that. Come here, little brown boy.
Right.
Oh, come look on, at me. Get it.
Come man, on, man. I don't know. Come on.
I mean, I'm glad. I mean, yeah.
That made me cringe.
That moment made me cringe. I agree. I forgot about that moment. It's one of those things that was like it's borderline because I always go by intention and like well intended and he was in on it and da da da.
But how do you know what his intentions are? How do you know that?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I know who Jimmy Kimmel is, but I don't. So who knows? But the mean tweet, Jimmy Kimmel mean tweet, I thought was interesting to bring that there. It seemed a little gimmicky to bring those type of like talk show things into the Oscars, but it worked well. I think all of his, he had a lot of David Letterman, Jimmy Kimmel style gimmicks, and I think they all kind of worked.
I love his interaction with Matt Damon. I mean, obviously, yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
like him, conducting the orchestra.
Right.
When he was like, before he even started, yeah. That was classic.
Yeah, and then Matt Damon tripping him.
Right, right.
Well, and then, of course, they famously, they had a one last bit planned.
Right, and they ran out of time.
Because he was already in there. He assumed that it was going to lose.
Right.
So he, Jimmy was sitting there next to Matt Damon waiting to do a bit where he pulls out and right. Well, Matt, you lost again. he was waiting to do that moment, and it didn't work out. He had to run back on stage to try to deal with that.
What did you think about your boy from Chicago that they brought in from the street? And when Jimmy was like, "Hey, you're not gonna say hello to any of the white guys? You're not saying hello to any of the white actors?" He's like, "No, I'm not." Whatever he said.
Did you know his backstory?
I don't know his backstory.
So this backstory, the thing about that guy, which was great from Chicago, is he, it's actually kind of a great story, but he was in prison for 20 years for stealing some perfume.
Wow.
Thank you, Jeff Sessions, talk about 13th, where they were doing Name We Need Her. Like that's, he stole some perfume, got 20 years.
Damn.
For that, and just got out. He got out on Thursday.
Holy smokes.
He got out on Thursday, was at the Oscars on Sunday.
That's crazy.
So not only that, what they did with the phones, like, and he's like, by all accounts, he's a bottle guy, bottle prison. I mean, the circumstances of why he was in for the whole 20 had a lot more to do with his sentencing and where he's from.
Of course.
Than it does to, like, the crime, and obviously he's out 20 years. But the most important thing about that guy is, so this is also related to us in the tech tech situation, they all had phones, and one of the things they wanted to do was control that phone situation. So they gave them all Samsung phones because Samsung's a sponsor. They couldn't have them all there with the Apple phones.
Of course.
So they tricked them and said, Samsung wants you to try out some of these phones. They gave them all different kind of cases so they looked like, so they didn't look fake.
Right, right.
And so Jimmy Kimmel was talking about the fact that, like, this is the first time this dude's had a smartphone in his hand.
Damn.
Like, he was like, I was getting a little annoyed that this guy was just so, like, in his phone the whole time, and I'm trying to talk to him, and then I realized, like, oh, later found out, like, 20 years. Like, what did you do when you first held a smartphone? Like, you know, so it's really interesting.
One of my boys said he actually knew one of the guys that was in that the entourage or whatever. He thought all that was staged because he said one of the dudes even tweeted like a couple days before, hey, make sure you watch the Oscars, I'm gonna be in it.
Oh, really? So
yeah,
this is very, so Jimmy was like on a thing vehemently saying how not staged it was, because there's some people who are like, first of all, they don't do Oscar, like this guy in New York was saying, like, they do Oscar tours at 8 o'clock at night. Well, obviously it was 5 o'clock here in the West Coast,
right.
And they do tours, and they start at 3,
right.
You know, and they do that tour, and that is real. Jimmy said, went to painstaking efforts to make sure that it was real. Now, maybe
that's a direct anecdote from one of my boys. I know.
However,
him.
that being said, that what they're not saying is what I do believe as speaking as producers, you may have had one or two plants in there,
probably
just to make sure
the ones that didn't get as much camera time.
I think you got to have some plants in there, right, to make sure, like if you start wilding out, like
then you maybe can go to the plant,
and be like, right. Oh, right. You can go to the plant, or right. or I can help like be security or move stuff along, right, right, or whatever. I think it's more likely you had in that group, you had one or two plants in the crowd to make sure nobody ran up the, you know.
So what do you think about, I mean, do you think it's just happenstance that my man from Chicago was the first dude to come in, or do you think that was a plant?
I think
that was kind of exploitive in a way, you know what I'm saying?
I feel like
it made us look like it brought out a certain degree of buffoonery if you really get down to it.
I don't think that was a plant. That wasn't a plant, because the way Jimmy described it was, you know, he was getting annoyed with that dude. Because he was really wanting to interact and do stuff, and he was sort of rolling through so slow because he was like so much on the phone that, like, he, you know, it was messing up his bit and the flow of the bit and how they rehearsed it. And also another behind the scenes on that is the day of they were rehearsing that kind of rehearsed with stand-ins, and a huge pillar crashed down in the Oscars. It almost killed like three
Stop
people.
It. Get no, out of here.
God. No, it's true. They were rehearsing that bit, that a huge Oscar statuette. Apparently, it was on one of the elevators on the stage. The elevator came up. It tipped over the thing, crashed right on top of the orchestra, like a big crash. Instead, it was like silent for like a minute where everybody was looking, make sure orchestra dudes came out. And so Jimmy was like, no one died. It was a miracle no one died. But because of that, we had to scrap rehearsal for that. And he was like, good, I just took a nap. So the first time we got to do that was like with the real people.
Damn.
And so this is a lot of weird, interesting behind the scenes stuff.
That's a cool story.
I 1,000% believe that was real. I believe that there could have been a couple plants, but I do not believe that was like, those are all fake people who were like, that dude was not acting, you know? Now, as a producer, if you look at the whole crowd, you kind of pre-interview everyone. You're like, oh, you're the most fish out of water, dude.
I know that for a fact, man.
I don't doubt that at all. I don't know
we're
that
gonna
it
put
was
you
like,
in the front, because you're gonna make it more entertaining.
Yeah,
and Jimmy could probably work you a little bit better.
I don't know that it was like, I don't know if I can go as far as to say that like I'm gonna put the nigga in the front because who knows what he's gonna do. But it's a fine line. It's a fine line on that point. All right. Marissa, how are we doing? How much time do we have left? Oh, okay, good. We're just rambling. I didn't know if we had to be out. Okay, so moving on to our guy Bezos. Jeff Bezos was there. He's been making the awards. He's been like smiling, grinning, making the award circuit presentation. But he won 3 Oscars. What's that? 10 fine. The first time streaming service studio, he won 3 Oscars. Your boy Jimmy Kimmel gave him a shout out from the stage, and mm-hmm. I'm not mad at him at all. He seems to be sort of a good-natured guy, having a great old time.
I think it's awesome. I mean, you got to think that, you know, obviously there's been nominations before from a streaming platform. Netflix has been nominated before, but never before won. I love, you know, just the storyline of what they did with Manchester by the Sea in terms of how they acquired it, you know, and then, you know, they had a theatrical release first, and then, you know, they're able to use it for the Amazon Prime members. And I think just that narrative is pretty dope in the fact that now that they have not only, you know, Emmys, but now they have Oscars, and I think that raises the cachet as it directly relates to them combating Netflix or, you know, opposing Netflix. So I think just in terms of the visibility and just the acclaim of what an Amazon production can bring, I think that is definitely solidified. I mean, they won a documentary, they won a feature film. Like, I mean, what's next? You know what I'm saying? So I think that, I mean, they're pledged to develop, you know, over $5 billion worth of content within the next 2 years. Like, I can only imagine what other things they will acquire, even develop within their own studio. So
yeah, I mean, who knows? And moving on from that, I'm going to skip the Tribeca one, but kind of it's a good segue into Netflix. That, you know, Netflix has famously made a bunch of crazy comedic acquisitions within the last 3 years.
Go figure. I mean, wow, man, we should develop something to take to Netflix.
Maybe we should. I don't know. That'd be really great if we would have done that.
Or man, like if we would have collaborated with like someone up there, you know,
a particular EGOT.
Right.
But anyway, we're doing some inside baseball jokes for ourselves. But also, Netflix has obviously famously has signed Chris Rock to a big deal, then Jerry Seinfeld to a big deal,
Dave Chappelle
to a big deal. Amy Schumer to a big deal, Louis C.K. They already had Aziz and a bunch of other folks as well. So, so what they're planning to do, they've also were able to acquire Jerry's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. So what they're talking about,
$100 million. That's ridiculous.
I mean,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's. I think about Jerry. I mean, when you think about caked up comedians, like I remember, like we're talking about 20 years ago when Jerry and Larry cashed out for Seinfeld.
Yeah, at like $100 million or something.
No, they cashed out for $242 million each.
Oh, okay.
Like the check cash, so here you go, boom.
Right.
So they did. So that was that, and that was like 20 years ago.
Right.
And they still get a little piece of what's happening with Seinfeld. So that was that. So their buyout was huge. They're still making money off Seinfeld to this day. Jerry could have faded away. He came back, did a little web series that could just messing around. Next thing you know, it's the biggest thing ever. He leaves Sony, goes to Netflix, and they bought it for another $100 mil.
That's retarded.
I mean, that is insane to me, but good for him. So anyway, Netflix is going to do a new stand-up special every week this year. They've got the people to do it. It's going to be good. I think that's a very high-profile thing to do. Netflix, man.
And I think just, you know, kind of putting their flag in the ground. Like, we're going to dominate in every category.
Absolutely.
And, you know, comedy being one of them. Yep. Like Amazon compete with us, or even, you know, traditional network compete with us. Like, we have the best talent, we have the best IP, and it's no shelf life. And we're offering the best talent because we have the money to pay them.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, come fuck with us. Like, I think Netflix is kind of already the home for comedic releases, and this is just more of like that approval of that. So
I couldn't agree more, and I think that like what. You know, it's interesting to think about what's happening with Netflix in terms of, you would think that at a certain point they're going to plateau out with their subs, with their subscriptions, but they're not.
Oh, no.
There's so much room to grow domestically and internationally.
Yeah.
And by the way, they had, I think the number, how many new subscriptions they had in 2016, but it was something like, it was some ridiculous number of new subs they had, which equals like... hundreds of millions of dollars, because you're talking about $9 a pop.
Billions of dollars.
I mean, $9 a pop.
They already have over 100 million subscribers.
Yeah, you gain like 19, you know, 20 million new subscribers like a year.
Yeah.
That's big money. So
yeah, you got to think there. I mean, $9 a month.
Yeah.
So you had just 100 million subscribers. That's 100 million times 9 per month.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, like that's
the other thing. Yeah, it's not per year.
Per month. Yeah.
So you're looking at a bill a month.
Thank you.
So they can spend. They can spend. Yeah, right. Got it. They can spend that kind of money. Okay, let's run through these. We gotta get out of here. Google is finally launching their own streaming service, YouTube TV, which is very much a lot like Sling. Which they're doing an offering where you can have all your networks and then a bunch of the partnering sort of cable networks, ancillary cable networks, all the NBC networks, all the CBS networks. Could it be good? Would you get rid of Sling to go over to YouTube TV or
what? I mean, I think you have DirecTV now. You have Sling TV. You have a few other ones that are in this space. Like, I mean, I think it's just where you feel comfortable, like where you spend most of your time. Like if you're a YouTuber, then this might make the most sense for you.
Yep.
If you already have a Sling T, I don't see this being attractive enough to make you want to cross over. Yep. Like if you just kind of use Apple TV and just kind of pay for each one by themselves separately, if that's your workflow, if that's the way you want to experience content, I think it's however you want that experience to be, and you're able to tailor make it for yourself. I don't think that I think it's good for them to be in this space because of the fact that they have a billion hours of viewership every day.
Yep.
Like I think that they need to make more of a transition in terms of captivating people, because they're already captivated within the YouTube ecosystem, but to be able to have now, you know, the infrastructure to be able to watch other things and have a YouTube moniker associated with that, I think is a good move for them.
Yeah.
And who knows what the next step is? It's when they start developing more, you know, serious content like a Netflix or like an Amazon.
They already sort of have a bunch of original content that they're doing based on their homegrown YouTube stars. So when they go out and start acquiring stuff or bringing in and signing like a Leonardo DiCaprio,
they need an Oscar or Emmy worthy piece of content.
Well, it's Google in their position to do that. I mean, YouTube viewership hit a billion hours of video a day, which is a huge milestone, so they got the bandwidth to do it.
Yeah, I said an hour, huh? Did I say an hour a day?
It is a billion hours of video a day.
A day, right, yeah.
So let me run through these. We got about 3 minutes. I want to hit the new Apple crazy, I forget what it's called. What's it called? Apple Spaceship Campus opens in April. It looks insane. The new Steve Jobs Theater looks incredible.
Looks fresh.
Elon Musk, SpaceX plans to fly 2 private citizens to the moon by
around
the moon by the end of 2018. Would you jump on that thing?
Man, I would. Like, wow. I have just a crazy infatuation with space and exploration.
Sure. So
if there was an opportunity to do that, like, I would. If I had the opportunity, I would definitely take that opportunity.
Like, I'm picking the key that I want. You want to go?
Yes.
Like, yeah, okay. Well, let me know how it works out. I would not be on that trip for a minute. Too much risk involved with space travel, though it looks cool. Samsung has augmented reality glasses coming. We talked about this with the Snapchat glasses. I think that this is something what we're going to see a lot more of. It's kind of like a newer, people have been trying to play on and sort of plus what Google Glass was trying to do. Do you think the augmented reality within glasses are going to work?
No. I think it's gimmicky. I don't think it has a sustainable future.
Right.
I think it's for the now. I think the way the technology is going to, you know, progress, like, it's going to be more in terms of integrated into our biology. So you don't need to put on glasses. You throw on the contacts, or it's something that, you know, like I said, it's something that's going to go into your body,
right,
that will augment your reality. So, yeah, I mean, I think that it's cool now, but I'll throw it back to you. Yeah. I mean, different story. What do you think about Snapchat and its new IPO? That's huge news. I'm surprised we didn't cover that today.
Oh, well, you're right. That's a good point. Yeah, that is, I mean, people keep counting Snapchat out and acting like Snapchat's going to go away or they can't figure this thing out, and they repeatedly, look, I think Snapchat is going to be, and it already is, a killer, and I don't know.
I mean, they already had the IPO. They already made a gazillion dollars the first day. Like,
I know. Not going to, but I still think their future is still bright, because what's happening with they're building a giant sort of studio / campus on in Venice.
Mm-hmm.
Snapchat's future is bright. We got to get out of here, but I do want to mention Get Out came out over the weekend, and it's doing gangbusters. 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. I do want to shout out this one dude, Armand White from the National Review. He's driving me crazy. He's the one guy who gave Get Out a bad review. The one dude, he's a black
just
dude.
Just to be an asshole.
He's from the National Review. If you look at a lot of other movies, though, like I'm Not Your Negro, also 99.88%, who gave it a bad review? This guy. Fences, who gave it a bad review? This
Stop
guy.
It. Let me see that. Let me see that.
Like, check out Armand White. Like this man.
Get out of here.
He's killing me. Look at Armand White. Click on his other reviews. He's killing me. Armand White National Review. We're gonna get out of here. Where can the people find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Akili Shine. And where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Joe K Braswell. Write a letter to Armand White at the National Review, y'all. Thank you very much for listening and checking us out. We will see you soon. Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.